Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Dutala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with longtime Land Academy member, Scott Dawson. Scott, how are you from even sunnier Arizona?
Yeah.
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, it's actually a little cloudy today, which is definitely a change. But yes, it's great over here.
Cool.
Great. Oh, cloudy, yeah. You know, what is it, March? March is the month to be in Phoenix.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I have to tell a funny little story. When Joe and I met, the Cubs were playing the Giants in spring training in Scottsdale, and it was our first date. They were had a night game, and so now that's our anniversary. Mm-hmm. Every year the Cubs play the Giants, regardless of what date is in or the time or anything in March, that's our
anniversary.
That's it.
When the game is. And he conveniently brought one blanket. And it was awesome. Cold that night. It's funny.
So Scott, tell us, start from the beginning. You know, when did you decide, what did you do before you decided to join Land Academy? And then you obviously joined and fill us in on what's happened since then.
Okay. I guess I'll just do a quick background. I've been in real estate for a while. I've been licensed for 15 years, but I've been kind of flipping houses and doing wholesaling, I guess you would call it, since my early 20s. I bought my first house when I was 21, so I won't tell you how long ago that was, but it was quite a while. It was quite a while ago. Throughout my 20s, though, I kind of fumbled around with it. I came from a construction background family, so I thought I can do all the work myself, which I was mistaken, so... went from one project to the next, filled in my time with other construction projects, and then out of frustration, not being able to find real estate agents to understand what I was talking about or doing, I went and got my license. And when I got my license, I realized that was a whole nother world, and I kind of got sucked into that and eventually owned a real estate franchise here locally in Arizona. We did a lot of transactions. It was fun. The crash happened. I wasn't really prepared for it, so... I closed that shop down, went on my own as a real estate agent / investor. And since then I've been wholesaling. I've never really been doing it, any big numbers. It's kind of been, I tell people I've been kind of semi-retired for so long, but, in 2018, my broker came to me and we had a huge hedge fund that came into town. And we were the exclusive brokerage for them. So he recruited me in to do some underwriting, and we sold them thousands of homes. And so in 2018, I kind of got the fire lit underneath me again and wanted to get pumped up and do some more deals. And then I found you guys wanted to learn a little more about land because I wanted to kind of expand my horizons. I mean, I understand the house world pretty well, but I didn't really quite understand the land side. So I joined Land Academy and haven't looked back.
Awesome. So how did it work out for you land-wise?
Land-wise, I love the land thing, and without getting too far, I don't know how long we got to talk, because sometimes I can be chatty, so you guys stop me if I go on.
Okay, great. We're going to start today, bud.
All right. Yeah, so with land, one of the things that I really, really love with land, and I tend to focus mostly on infill lots just because a lot of that's still kind of the same buyer for me and the same network that I have. So it was a little easier. So I love the rural vacant land, but I haven't done a lot of that yet. I really like the infill lots for right now. But what I do really truly like about it as well is I can go virtually with it a lot easier. So with homes, it was so hard for me to expand out of the Phoenix metro area just because of the boots on the ground and things like that. It's a little bit more complicated. I know a lot of people who do it. It was just a little much for me. So with the land, I love it because I've been investigating some other markets. I've been doing a lot of research and data, and I'm ready to send some mail out in some other markets, which is kind of exciting. I like that. And I could do all that pretty much by myself. I don't have to have a giant team. You know, I don't have to have a lot of systems in place. So the land thing to me just kind of opened up the whole country.
Was it hard for you, Scott? I talked to a lot of, we have friends who are real estate agents, and they have a hard time, you know, thinking about what we do and like, well, what do you mean you can do it this way? And, but don't you need to have an agent? And how do you do this? You know, and, you know, their transactions, you know, versus our transactions are so much easier, I think. Was it hard for you to, you know, wrap your head around that?
For me, I actually did it backwards. So in my 20s, I was kind of the investor trying to flip and do that. And I understood. And I had ordered every course. You know, I've had every course under the sun, I think, over the years. And so I understood a lot of that before I ever got my license. I only got my license out of frustration for what you just said, is that mm-hmm. the real estate agents had no idea what I was trying to do. And I wanted access to the MLS and all those things, especially back then when I didn't really have a lot of computer programs. There wasn't a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of easy, not for me anyways, I didn't know an easy way to get data back then. So I really wanted the MLS, and I just got so tired of chasing real estate agents, and I got tired of training them. That's what I got tired of doing. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Hey, everybody remembers their first deal. Do you remember what was your first land deal like?
My first land deal that I did was, that was last year sometime when I sent my mail. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up real quick what month it was, but I think it was somewhere around summer, June-ish time probably. And I sent my first land mailer out to my infill lots, and I messed up the mailer. And
so I love it.
I was really stressing because I noticed I'm getting way too many calls and way too many accepted contracts in the mail, and I thought, what did I do? And I looked at it because I think it's really important to be self-aware, and I know myself really well. I'm probably more of Jill than I am of Steve.
Okay, good.
And so the data, I like it. I know it's important, but it's not my strength. I get kind of in a hurry to send things out. So it's funny that I messed up a mailer here locally that I know. So, but it is what it is. I sent out a mailer and was offering people info lots and Eloy some ridiculous price. And I was like, I know better than that. I just kind of got in a hurry. But what's kind of funny about it is, even though I messed it up, so I think that the grand total mailers that I sent out was like 1,700. It was a combination of Tucson in between like Casa Grande, Eloy, and here in Maricopa County by the Phoenix metro area. And out of that 1,700, I think that when I took a look at it, really, there was only like 900 good mailers, like ones that were actually decent. And I was kind of, I was a little bummed out thinking, oh man, this is not going to work. And I kept thinking, I'm such a moron for doing this. But you know what ends up happening? We got four deals out of that.
I love it.
My very first one was infill lot in Tucson. I remember it really well. I remember the address. I think even it had an address for that info lot. And I did that one. I actually double closed that one. The guy who ended up buying that from me was a broker, and his broker was being a little weird. And we just did a double close basically. So I don't always take these down. A lot of my do is kind of in, because of my background, I do a lot of assignments instead of before I close on deals. But that one actually was a double close, I believe. And I think that I bought that one for, where's my thing? I bought it for 21 and sold it for 30 even.
Nice.
Excellent.
And that was my very first deal, land deal I've ever did.
Nice.
That's perfectly motivating.
And it was a double close. So it was so fast. That's great.
Yeah. Just really quick, a quick one. And then there were still three other deals that we pulled out of that mailer, even though at first I was thinking, oh, I'm such a dork. Well, how'd I mess this up? And then when it was all said and done, it was still quite a success for 900 mailers, really. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
So were the other ones out of that mailer about the same financial scenario?
Yeah. I mean, my average on the land deals is 14,000 and change, I think, for each deal that I do, infill lot that I've been doing.
Nice.
So I do well there. But I've also joined House Academy, and I've done mailers for homes as well. And just recently we've got stuff coming in now from just under 10,000 piece mailer we did through House Academy just recently. So
that's great. So what is your weekly or, weekly, monthly outbound mails? What's your operation look like for houses?
It's
a land show.
Yeah, this is the land show, right? Are we talking about land?
Yeah. it all melts together.
Yeah, I know. I know. For the land, so this year I've slowed down a little bit because I was doing a lot of research in the other markets because I like to stick with info lots. I'm sure you guys know this. You guys are the land experts, but infill lots are just not a plethora of them everywhere. I noticed, I wanted to expand out a little bit and find a different market so I can keep that going for right now. But the house mailer, that's the first mailer I sent out this year was that just under 10,000 piece mailer. I don't get one out necessarily every single month perfectly on the first. I'm not like a turn them and burn them anymore as much as I used to be. I'm kind of, hey, if I can close 4 deals a month, I'm killing it, you know, for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 deals a month at 10 or 15,000 bucks is just
not a bad thing,
especially if you have no staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, when you're on your own doing it. Now, I don't have a problem with scaling. I mean, my vision was to scale, but to me, I like to try to get that rhythm. Let's get 4. Can we consistently get 4? And then I'll start scaling from there, because I've done it before. Like I said, I'm a little impatient. Sometimes I like to go a little fast, but I've also am older now, and I know where that gets me. So, So I try to slow down. I'm trying to keep it a nice rhythm. But the mail probably gets out every other month.
Good.
That's good.
So you don't have anyone helping you. Not even a single assistant.
Pat Live, it just answers all the calls. I have just recently brought some guys on to try to kind of be boots on the ground here locally. I brought 2 guys. They're young guys, but I'm not really paying them anything right now. They just kind of got out there because I had tested some other avenues like cold calling, text blast, ringless voicemail stuff. And, I mean, I really tested it and ran a lot of numbers through them, and I wasn't really happy with any of it. So, you know, kind of back to just – doing mailers only.
We've heard that too, Scott. I'm glad to hear you said that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people too spend a lot of time, a lot of money thinking, okay, let's try this new way. And then it comes back to the numbers aren't as good. And boy, talk about making people mad.
Oh my goodness.
And not getting the results.
Yeah, it's just a little intrusive. I don't know if you guys know who Dan Kennedy is. He's a big time marketer back in the day. He always said prospecting sucks. And it's a little intrusive to be calling and texting, and not a little, it's a lot intrusive. I mean, I don't think any of us like it much. Mm-hmm. But those numbers, so it kind of is, I'm sorry to keep ranting, but for me, I look at the efficiency of it, and for me, the most important thing in the efficiency department is my time. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the money I'm spending on something. As long as I'm making a profit on what I'm spending, I'm happy with that. But I'm real careful with my time. I don't want to be working 7 days a week. I don't want to be on the phone 24/7. And with the calls and the text blasting and the RVMs, that's exactly what it was. I mean, I ran a test, and the RVM, so the ringless voicemail, there was almost 1,000 calls that came back from that blast. And that's just a lot to field. And there was 2 deals out of it, but they were real thin because it was a little more random. And then, I mean, if I look at my home mailer, I had 24 calls and there's 5 deals in there. 24 calls and 5 deals that's efficient to me.
Great.
Totally.
So in the ringless voicemail, you're just trying to see if people want to sell. You're not even getting an offer out, right?
No, not at all.
That's so, talk about a real waste.
Yeah.
It's, you know, everybody's good at saying yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll sell it to you for $1 million. The house is worth 150, right?
Exactly.
So that was just, to me, my time's too valuable. Even though it wasn't super expensive to do it, it just wasn't efficient. It just didn't make any sense to me. So the way you guys teach it, with sending out that priced out mailer, it's just right on. I mean, it's just right on. The numbers are, it's just predictable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I know this is the land show, but just especially with houses, the way, do you use the smart pricing and everything else?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Yeah. You're just hitting single after single after single. We're having a lot of success with it in Los Angeles County right now too.
Great.
What's a typical house deal, since we're going to talk about houses? What's a typical house deal look like for you?
And for me, again, I kind of do it a little bit different. I don't take them down. There was 2 deals. One was in Dobson Ranch, which was great. That was an easy turn because it was clean and it was ready to go. There's another one that was in Mesa. That was pretty. But a lot of these ones that I end up walking and taking and end up doing something with are ones that are really just trashed. I mean, I've walked into a few of them. So the price that I sent them, I've had to renegotiate on, but still did really well on them. So I don't mind that. I mean, that's not a problem for me on the house thing. So for us right now, I just looked at it a minute ago. I think that we're a little over 17,000 per house deal right now.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
That land deals were... And I already told you what that was. I can't find it in here. I'm sorry. I'm clicking around trying to see where it was.
Oh,
I think
good.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Those are great numbers, though.
I mean, if you do one of those a month, it's $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the, I mean, so and the, you know, mailers cost me more than the cold calling setup I did. But like I said, the efficiency and the predictability of it, it's just a smart way to go. And that includes land as well. So if we're talking about infill lots, I mean, it's the same thing. We price those out like you guys taught, right? And then get that bulk mail out there. It's just great. And the land's so magical. There was one deal we did in Tucson. You mind if I tell you?
Yes, please.
No, go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
So this is, talk about efficiency. So it was the second or the third deal that came back from Tucson, came back in the mail signed. I tried to call the person. They wouldn't answer. I went ahead and opened up escrow with the title company. Called title, said, hey, I've been able to reach. And they said, oh, we got in touch with them. Everything's good to go. And I was like, okay, great. We closed. I wholesaled that property and made my money and never once ever talked to the seller.
Great.
That's fantastic.
And I was like, I'm doing this forever.
Right, Don. Yeah, compare that to dealing with, you know, the retail house customer, which is like, oh, no.
Or just being an agent on a deal.
It is.
I thought it was going to be more yellow.
Yeah. I know homes and houses so well, and I don't mind talking with people. So going on those appointments, again, it's not too bad. But there's something that just is so cool about doing those land deals where you're just like, wow, you can't get any smoother than that. I mean, you can't get that deal with a house deal. How am I going to get that done?
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I love it. Wow, you're doing everything right.
Yeah, you are.
So what's next? Where do you want to go with this? What are your numbers for this year going to be?
Yeah, so for me, when I originally started back on my own again, I created a company. I call it Option B. So I created a company called Option B, and my original vision was to be kind of another option against these iBuyers that were out there. So, you know, big guys, I don't want to necessarily mention any names on there, but you guys probably know a lot of those big cash buyers out there. But they don't buy everything. They don't buy houses that are trash. They don't buy land. They don't buy condos. And I say, well, we do. We buy all that stuff. So I wanted to offer the consumer another option with Option B. Plus, since we're licensed, the second fold to that would be is we could also list things for them. So I don't want to, you know, pass up on helping those people out, the sellers out there, and getting deals done.
That's
so
good.
I created Option B. So I see in the future some scaling. Like I was telling you guys, I've been doing some research in other markets. And right now I'm just looking at figuring out how I'm going to dispo them or, you know, sell them on the back end as quickly as possible. And I'm going to start with infill lots and then more than likely move into the homes as well in those markets. But to me, to start with the infill lots is makes the transition into the homes in the area a little smoother. If that makes sense.
That sounds great.
I love it.
You know, I love your approach about kind of offering an additional type service over just SFRs. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Clean SFRs.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Is it, you know, is there a hole in the roof? All right, we can fix this. I don't care.
Yeah, well, I've had a pretty huge network. I've lived in Arizona my whole life and I've been part of real estate for 25, 26 years. And so I've got a lot of people who I could kind of reach out to or maybe partner up with or sell it to or assign it to or something like that. So I'm not usually worried about it. Even if it's burnt to the ground, I'm sure I could figure out something.
Yeah, exactly. That's our approach too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's more valuable if it all burns down.
Yes.
Exactly. So, I mean, but every now and then I've had a few deals that came through where it was just smooth. The house was clean. The price that we had priced out for them worked and we did it. And it was, everything worked out nice.
Awesome,
so
man.
Glad.
Scott Dawson, thank you so much for an enlightening story. Is there anything that you have experienced recently, last few years, that you were just kind of disappointed about? Not necessarily with Land Academy, but everybody loves a good screw-up story.
I'm pretty hard on myself, so I got a lot of those. So, I mean, just like I was saying, that my first land mailer, I mean, I really beat myself up about the fact that I was sending mail to people whom I knew better to send it to. But I don't know. There's so many things. What's upset me? What's upsetting me right now is probably this hot market is bugging me a little bit here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it at all. It does bother me. A lot of unrealistic sailors out there right now. So you got to adjust to it. But I don't know. I mean, the biggest challenges that I have usually is delegating. That's one of my biggest challenges. So being able to delegate properly and having the patience so I can continue to grow and scale is the only thing I can really think of. Other than that I enjoy life. I love life so much. I'm usually just so optimistic. It's really hard for me to talk about anything negative, to be honest with you.
You are like Jeff.
You are like me. Yep. This is good. Are you coming in October, I hope?
Yeah, I gotta look at that again because I missed last year. So I definitely got to get out with it.
Yeah,
I definitely want to come. I want to meet everybody and sit down and chat for sure.
We were already starting to do some pre-planning on that, and Stephen has some ideas like ways we're going to go big this year. So
we've had two real successful live events. This third one, I think we're going to pull the stops out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys are killing it, and I greatly appreciate all the information you've shared with me.
Thank you.
Great. Scott. Glad you're having a good experience with it.
Absolutely.
Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are right here on the Land Academy Show. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you can catch us over on the House Academy Show.
Next week, join us for another interesting episode on the Land Academy Show.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I'll help you.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
I can't read straight.
That's okay. All right. Well, thanks again, Scott.
You're very welcome. Oh. Sorry for the little mix-up there.
No worries. That was awesome. The Land Academy Show remains commercial-free for you, our loyal listeners. So wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.